The book of 1 Chronicles. This is our fifth study in 1 Chronicles, and we come to chapter 17. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 17, verse 1. After David was settled in his palace, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent." And it didn't seem right. Maybe it even seemed sinful to David that he lived in a fancy palace while the Ark was in a tent. Verse 2, Nathan replied to David, "Whatever you have in mind, do it, for God is pleased with you." Now, normally Nathan was a wonderful prophet, very faithful. But no one is perfect. And he really spoke out of turn here. Nathan was a prophet. He didn't get paid to give his opinion. His job was to declare the word of God. Well, he gave his opinion here. Verse 3, that night the word of God came to Nathan saying, and so Nathan gets a quick revelation from God. Verse 4, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says, you are not the one to build me a house to dwell in." In other words, tell David that you spoke too soon, Nathan. A preacher who gives his personal opinion, as if it is the word of God, is like a loose cannon. Verse 5, God says, "I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought Israel out of Egypt to this day. I have moved from one tent site to another, from one dwelling place to another. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their leaders, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" It was as if God had lived in a motor home, the equivalent of a motor home or a trailer house. In that day, he was used to moving around and not having a permanent temple, and he never requested one. Verse 7, "Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says, I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel." David had a very humble beginning. He was a lowly shepherd. And God made him the king over Israel. Verse 8, "I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name like the names of the greatest men of the earth." That permanent building which David wanted to build, God, wasn't an issue with the Lord. God doesn't stay in one place anyway. You know, he had been with David while he was a shepherd, and he had been with David during the rocky road before he became king. You can't confine God to one place. Verse 19, "And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning." David wanted to give God a permanent home. But God says, "David, I'm going to give my people Israel a permanent home." And when God speaks of Israel, he's not talking primarily about Jewish people who have Jewish blood flowing through their veins. When he talks about Israel, he's talking about true Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel, the spiritual descendants of Abraham. It's like the New Testament says, not all Israel is Israel. Verse 10. It says, well, let's read 9 along with it, the last part of 9. He says, "Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also subdue all your enemies." And so, just a reminder from God that the reason Israel is secure in their own land right now is because God is on their side. And that's the only reason that they are secure in their own land. Last part of verse 10, I declare to you that the Lord will build a house for you. When your days are over and you go to be with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. And this promise of God to David about having a son whose kingdom God will establish actually has a double fulfillment. Its first fulfillment was in Solomon. God established Solomon's kingdom after David for 40 years, and it was very prosperous. And God is establishing the kingdom of the Son of David, the Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, right now in the church. That is the second and final fulfillment and ultimate fulfillment of this promise. Verse 12, He is the one who will build a house for me, and I will establish his throne forever. Now, Solomon did build a regular stone cement house for God, but the house in view here ultimately is the church, the kingdom of Christ, which is the temple of God through the Holy Spirit. It is a house for God. Verse 13, I will be his father, and he will be my son. I will never take my love away from him as I took it away from your predecessor, and that would be Saul. Saul was rejected because of his rebellion. Jesus will never be rejected because he is God's eternal son, who is 100% holy. His kingdom endures forever. 14. I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. And forever in verse 14 means just that, means for all eternity. Jesus rules over his people on the new earth, and he will, and his kingdom, it will never end. Verse 16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? David enters the tabernacle and sits before the Lord. And this reminds me of the way we can be in the presence of God in a special way during Holy Communion, and of course, when you are reading the word and in prayer. David went to the tabernacle where his focus would be on God alone, and he spoke to the Lord. And the last part of verse 16, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, O God, you have spoken about the future of the house of your servant. You have looked on me as though I were the most excellent of men, O Lord God. And David just couldn't figure it out. It's like David is saying, Lord, I don't get it. You're treating me as if I'm something special. And the reason David didn't get it is because he knew that God was something special and that he was being very gracious to him. Verse 18, What more can David say to you for honoring your servant? For you know your servant. David is saying, Lord, I know that you know that I'm not worthy of this. Verse 19, O Lord, for the sake of your servant and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made known all these great promises. The plan to make David king and establish his royal line forever through the Messiah was all God's idea and was all a product of God's grace too. Verse 20, There is no one like you, O Lord, and there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. No one is as kind and gracious to the unworthy as God is. Let's move on to verse 21. And who is like your people, Israel, the one nation on earth whose God went out to redeem a people for himself, and to make a name for yourself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. God made a name for himself by delivering the Israelite slaves from powerful Egypt, all the nations that surrounded Egypt, and all the nations in Palestine heard about what God did. And God is also making a name for himself by delivering sinners from hell and putting them into the spiritual kingdom of Israel, the church today. And he's been doing that for 2,000 years. 22. You made your people Israel, your very own forever. And you, O Lord, have become their God. And again, Israel here refers to true Israel, or spiritual Israel, which the New Testament teaches is the Church of Jesus Christ. 23, and now, Lord, let the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house be established forever. Do as you promised. And that promise is the coming and the reign of the Messiah. That is what God promised David, and that is what he delivered. 24. So that, he says, do as you promise, so that it will be established, and that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty, the God over Israel, is Israel's God, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. And verse 25, you are my God. Have revealed to your servant that you will build a house for him. So your servant has found courage to pray to you. And the house here refers to the spiritual temple, headed by the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the offspring of David. It is the spiritual house of God, the church. Verse 26, O Lord, you are God. You have promised these good things to your servant. Now you have been pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O Lord, have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. And again, the house referred to here is the church. The church is the temple of God, who lives in it by the Holy Spirit. The church is the kingdom of God, with Jesus as king, and it will go on forever. As this verse says, Lord, you have blessed it, and it will be blessed forever. Next time, chapter 18. Until then, so long, everyone.